Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
The honor and the praise. Yes, God is doing great
and he is doing mighty things in our lives. And we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Today we are coming from the book of Acts, and that we're going to be speaking from that 12th chapter, beginning at that first verse. And we thank God for the word of God, for the word of God is what makes a change in our lives. The word of God is what calls us to be made better on the inside as well on the outside. We're going to be our topic today. We're going to be talking about Harold King kills James and imprisoned Peter. And we're going to begin about that first verse. Now, about the time Harold the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then was the day of the unleavened bread. Let's stop right there. We see here in the word of God that how Harold, he had stretched forth his hand to vex, to trouble, to agitate, to bring physical distress upon the church. When you see Harold, when he have come against the people of God, he coming against God's people, he tried to agitate them. He tried to cause them to be troubled. But the word of God says to let not your heart be troubled. But ye believe in God, believe also in me. So therefore, when we can trust God, when we can believe God, and I believe that the church at that time, that yes, they were concerned, but yet they knew that God was with them. So therefore, I'm saying to you today that no matter what you may go through, no matter how the enemy will try to agitate you, you got to stand on God's word. You have to keep your peace. The word of God let us know that we keep our minds of faith upon him, that he would keep us in perfect freedom, in perfect peace. We need the peace of God, and there's no peace like the peace of God. So, yes, Harold had came against the church. Yes, Harold tried to vex the church. And yet he had killed James, the brother of John. He killed him with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the people, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded. He was trying to go forward, and then he will try to take the life of Peter. So therefore, here in the word of God, it tells us in that fourth verse of the 12th chapter of Acts, and when he had apprehended him, when they had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending to after Easter to bring him before the people. So therefore he decided to take Peter into custody. They decided to arrest Peter. They had already gone after James. They've already killed James with a sword. They've already tried to put fear into the heart of the people. And because the Jews, it seems like it pleased the Jews when they killed James, they proceeded that they were going to go further and they were going to try to take the life of Peter. And here they had him a hole, and the word of God tells us in that fifth verse, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I believe that that is a word for us today. I believe that even in a difficult time, even in a troubled time, when we're going through stress and being agitated and being put into prison, men and women of God. Yes, they are men and women of God that's in our nation, that's in the United States of America. Yes, they're being put in prison, in jail for the name of Jesus. But yes, prayer, the word of God, that prayer was made without ceasing. They didn't stop praying. They began to pray and they began to intercede for the man of God. They continually to pray for Peter. And this is a time that we live in on today, that we should pray for the men and the women of God. We should pray that God will put a hedge of protection about them. We should pray that they be covered under the blood of Jesus, that their mind, that their soul, and their spirit will be covered under the blood of Jesus. The enemy, the word of God, comes as a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy wants to destroy the men and the women of God. But here we find that prayer was made for Peter. Peter had not broken any law. Peter was only one that was going around lifting up the name of Jesus, one that was doing all he could, that lives will be changed. So because they knew that there was a difference, they knew that he belonged to Jesus. They knew that it was a difference about Peter. They knew that they wanted not this difference and not this goodness in Peter to spread any further. So they decided that I'm going to put this man of God, I'm going to put him into prison. But when they did put him in prison, as I said before, prayer was made known unto him, was being made manifested for him, the man of God. See, prayer bridged the gap between heaven and earth. We need that. Men and women everywhere need to pray. The Bible says that we need to pray and not to faint, not give up, but we need to pray. And I believe that the man of God, I believe that even as he was in prison by those quarters of soldiers, he wasn't just there, but I believe that he was praying as well as those that was outside of the jail. Those were outside men and women that knew that Peter needed to be delivered for his safety, for his well-being, so he'll be able to go forth and to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So prayer is important. Don't give up in a time of trouble. Don't give up in a time of trial. No matter what you may be going through today or any other day, it may be your rent, it may be that mortgage, it may be that $999 mortgage, it may be that $1,200 mortgage, it may be that $2,000 mortgage that you are paying. Don't give up on God. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. There's somebody out there today that even have a church mortgage, and they're about to give it up because of the fact that they cannot see their way clear. They can't see their way through. But if God has called you to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God, that you are obligated to go forth, you are obligated to stand on God's word. For the word of God say, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or one tittle will fail. So when we can stand on the word of God, when we can have faith and confidence in God. You may say, Dr. McCoy, what is faith? Faith, the word of God says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see it, but you must believe it. You may not see the money in the bank, but you got to believe God. Yes, there may be even somebody out there that has a sickness in their body, and you may not even feel like you're going to make it. You may not feel like the something in your body, what the something in your body is dictated to you, that it makes you feel that you're not going to be all right. But when you put your faith and your confidence in God, when you begin to pray and to intercede, when you begin to fast, and you begin to stand on God's word, that I believe that your deliverance will be made manifested. I believe that God will move on your behalf. I believe that God will fight every battle, because the battle does not belong to you, but the battle belongs to God. See, that's where we got to stand on God's word and know no matter what we go through, if we are children of the Most High God, if you have given your life to him, if you have said yes to his will and yes to his way, if you are trusting God, you're not leading to your own understanding, if you have a confidence in the Almighty God, you got to believe that God, he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that diligently that seek his word and stand upon his word. So here we see Peter here this morning. He is in prison. He is kept in prison, but the prayers of the people of God, the prayers of the righteous, the prayers of the saints are praying for him. Yes, he wasn't just there. He wasn't there alone, but God was with him. And then if you look there in that sixth verse, it said when Herod would have brought him forth that same night, he was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Peter he wasn't just in prison. He wasn't just in prison, but they had him bound with chains upon him because they did not want Peter to escape. Herod see how important that he thought it was to bring Peter forth so that he can take his life. So therefore, he wanted to make sure that Peter did not escape because they was waiting to bring him forth after Easter. So here, although he was bound in chains, and the prisoners, the keepers kept the prison, and he was sleeping between two soldiers. In that seventh verse it says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And his chain, look at the supernatural power of God. The angel told him to rise up quickly, and his chain fell off of his hand. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Put your sandals on. And he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment around thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he was saw a vision. You know how it is sometimes when you are sleeping and you see a vision of things and it looks so real, but yet you were having a vision. But here we see that God has sent his angel. God has sent his angel into this prison where Peter was shackled, where Peter's hand was in chains, where Peter's hand was tied, where he could not get loose, they thought. But when God gets into a situation, when God moves in your behalf. But God, get ready to bring deliverance to you. No shackle, no prison is able to contain you. So here we see a supernatural happening. The supernatural power of God. Yes, you are listening to the hour of power this morning. And we see the power of the Most High God. We see God is able to deliver and to be able to apprehend and to be able to bring us out with a strong hand and with a strength out of. We see here in that ninth verse, and he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Look at God. Look at God, the chains have fallen off. When it got to the iron gates, it didn't take anybody to open those gates. God supernaturally opened those iron gates. They opened of their own accord. You could you imagine when you go through a door today at a supermarket or at a different place of entrance, that you see the door, how it opened when you step in a certain place? Well, they didn't have that. God supernaturally opened those doors, opened that gate, so that Peter would be able to go through. And then it tells us it opened on its own accord, and they went out and passed through the street, one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. After the angel had delivered Peter out of prison, the angel departed from Peter. He had already accomplished. He had already did what God had instructed him to do. He had already went in and delivered God's man. And when Peter would come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel." He knew it wasn't a vision anymore. "And has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I told you they were praying. And God heard their prayer. They were praying for the deliverance of Peter. They didn't know how God was going to do this thing. They couldn't imagine what supernatural power that God was going to use in order to deliver Peter out of four quarters of soldiers and out of the shackles where his hand was shackled. Then you see what God did. Then you see how the angel told him after giving instruction, how the angel told him to get up. And he got up like the angel told him to get up, and the shackles, the chain fell off of Peter's hand. I believe that God is doing the same awesome and great thing today. I believe that God is moving today like he did even on the day of Peter when the angel went into the prison. God is doing great and mighty things to his people. We have to see and know the power of God. The word of God says he is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. Here we see in that 13th verse, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearten named Rhoda. And when he saw Peter, come on, when she saw Peter, she opened not the gate, but gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. You know, sometimes when we pray, are we really, really believing God to do supernatural things? The men of God, the women of God, they were praying for the deliverance of Peter. They were praying for the safety of Peter. They were praying that he be delivered from Herod and from the Jews. And yet, after God had sent his angel, Peter went to the house. He knocked on the door. And for gladness, Rhoda, she didn't open the door. She didn't open the gate for gladness. She was so happy, but she ran and told how Peter was standing before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she consistently affirmed that it was even so when they said it was an angel. They were saying it's not Peter. It's not Peter. It's an angel. You're mad, Rhoda. Peter's in prison. Now, I remind you that they have been praying for Peter's deliverance. They've been praying for Peter. After God had delivered them, they could not believe that he was standing there at the door. Rhoda didn't open the door after she seen him because she was so glad. She had so much joy on the inside. But those that was not believing that Peter was out there, not believing that their prayers had already been answered, they thought that Rhoda was mad. That's something that she was not in her right mind. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished knowing that James had just been killed earlier. And then because of the Jews, because how they felt happy about him being killed and apprehended, they thought that they would get Peter. And here they did. They put Peter in prison. You read it. You heard the word. And they apprehend him. But now the Lord, God sent his angel into the prison. I would like to stress that. I'd like to enforce that. I'd like to let you know the supernatural power of God. This man was under God. He had four quadrants of soldiers around him. A quadrant could fit a four. He had four sets of soldiers that was guiding him. But it didn't mean anything because there is nothing to hide for God. The man was in shackles. But they yet didn't really completely understand the power of God. So therefore, they were astonished. But he beckoned unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declaring to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said unto them, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went unto another place. I believe God this morning. There is nothing too hard for God to do. I don't know what situation that you are facing today. I don't know whether or not you have that son in prison, that person in prison, that daughter in prison. But I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask a thing. You know, sometimes there are prisoners that have been given 10 years and 7 years in prison. They have been even given 20 years in prison. But the Lord God Almighty, the God worked in mysterious ways with wonders to perform. See, we look at man. We look at the system. We look at what the judge have said. We look at what the prosecutor has said and what the prosecutor has wanted to happen to the person that they're prosecuting. But when we can look at God, when we can put our faith and our confidence in God, especially when a man and a woman of God are preaching the word of God, when they're preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God, when they are being a witness for Jesus, when hundreds of thousands of people are being saved, when there are people that are in different countries and here even in the United States of America, when they are being persecuted and when they are being abused, when you can find men and women of God, missionaries, including evangelists, apostles, prophets, when they are coming to the aid, even believers are coming to the aid, when they are standing on the word of God, and they're being in prison because of their stand, some being put in prison because they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some have been in prison because they are calling on the name of Jesus. Some are bold enough to stand upon the word of God and to believe God because there is power in the name of Jesus. There are many that don't want the people of God to pray in the name of Jesus because they know that there is power in that name. But as we see in the word of God, and as we have read in the word of God, if you are a believer, if you are born again, if you are steadfast, and you are unmovable, and you are always abounding in the works of the Lord, and you are not moved by every whim and every stem and everything that the enemy try to bring against you, and you are not complacent, but yet you are standing on the word of God. And standing with all your might, and you are standing on that solid foundation. Number one, you need to be on that solid foundation. And that solid foundation is Jesus Christ. That solid foundation is that word of God that you have put inside of you, that the word of God says that heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word gonna fail. That word is the word of God. Like in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. So we got to know God. If we don't know the word of God, then we don't really, really know God. I can see you across the street, and I may communicate with you. You may even come a little closer, and we may have a conversation, but I really don't know you. Yes, you may tell me your name. You may tell me where you live. You may tell me what work you do, what your profession is. But if I don't spend consistently time with you, then I don't really know you. So it is in the word of God. If we don't spend time with God, you can call it what you say it is, but if you don't spend time with God, you don't really have that relationship with him. See, in a time of distress, in a time of agitation, when you've been agitated by the enemy, you've seen in the first part of the message today how Carol was trying to agitate the church, coming against the church. Meaning he was trying to vex them, and he was trying to cause them to be troubled. See, when your mind is troubled, and when you've been vexed, many times, sometimes it's taking you away from the things of God because you're thinking upon those things that, or the enemy is trying, the attack of the enemy is trying to come against you. But when that happens, you have to begin to pray like the men and women of God here in this 12th chapter of Acts. They began to pray, and they didn't cease from praying. It was continually prayer. See, warfare is real. The enemy comes, and he attacks the mind. He attacks the people. He tries to take the peace of you. He tries to steal that peace. He tries to steal that joy that you have on the inside of you. He tried to bring fear, doubt, and unbelief unto you. And then sometimes he'll try to come with physical attack against you. But when you can stand on the word of God, when you can know that God, he is God, and he is God all by himself, no matter how the enemy tried to harass you, no matter how the enemy, come on, there's somebody being harassed on their job. There's somebody that the enemy is trying to come and harass you on your job. But you're going to have to believe God, and you're going to have to stand on God's word, and you got to know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you know that God has all power in his hand? Can't you not trust God that God will deliver you and bring you out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm? Don't you remember how the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, and how the Pharaoh came against him, his people, how the Pharaoh and the taskmaster came against the Israelites? And how they cried out because they wanted God to rescue them. They wanted God to come and to bring deliverance to them because they was under a hot taskmaster. And it's even like today, many people, you know, are being arrested, and many people are going through situation on their job. And even now, you know, I can even almost imagine the tears that you're crying because it seems like the hand is so heavy upon you. The hand is so heavy upon you, and you don't know what to do. But you got to stand on God's word. You know, you got to stand, you got to believe God. Even when you don't see God moving in a way that you desire him to move. See, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and there's a season for everything. And do you not know, even as Christ has suffered in the flesh, that we have to arm ourselves likewise to suffer? There are some things that we're going to go through as being believers. When there's some things that we're going to go through, and there's no way of escape. We are going to go through those things. But did you hear what I said? You're going to go through them. You're not going to stay in there, but you're going to go through them. And see, when you go through them, you got a testimony that you'll be able to testify what God has done in your life. Then you can know even assuredly that God has sent his angel. You can know assuredly that God has brought, even as God has sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lion when David was in the lion's den. Don't you know that God will deliver you with a strong hand and a stretched out arm? So you can have confidence this morning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, those that have been harassed. Those that have been agitated, and I feel this thing, that those that have been agitated and those that are in distress on their job, just stand in a holy place. Just seek the face of God. The word of God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way, he said, then will I hear from heaven. He said that I will forgive their sins. He said I will heal their land. So I want you to know today that God, he wants you to pray. And God wants us consistently to humble ourselves before him. No matter if you're saved and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to consistently humble yourself before the mighty hands of God. You can't be any higher. You can't go any higher than God. God is the supreme. He is sovereign. He is the great I am. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is a God. He's the greatest counselor. He is I am that I am. So we can't go any further than him, and we don't want to surpass it. We need to humble ourselves before God. And yes, you're out there this morning, and you need God to fight a battle for you. Remember, the battle does not belong to you, but the battle belongs to God. It is not your fight. You give it to God. You can't win, but God can. God, he never lost a battle. We're getting ready to go before the Most High God this morning. And you have heard the word of God. You have seen the supernatural power of God. You have seen God go send his angel to deliver Peter out of prison. You remember he was shackled. He was guarded by four squadrons of soldiers. A set of soldiers is four men. But he was guarded by four squadrons of soldiers. And yet, God knew that it was nothing too hard for him to do. Nothing impossible. He sent the angel. He caused the shackles to fall off of Peter. Peter got up, put his sandals on, girded himself, and he was able to go out. They are supernaturally open. Don't you see the power of God? Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, even as we pray even today, God, we come before you, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, we ask thee even now, Lord, that you will cause the faith of your people, God, to go to that next level in you. God, to cause them to know that you are a supernatural God that does supernatural things. And God, that you are God that do not change. And God, I pray even now that those are in their bodies, that they can be healed by the mighty power of God. I pray even now, God, that you will guide those that have been given a bad report, God, that they'll be healed by the supernatural power of you. God, those that are stressed, those that are troubled, God, that they'll be healed even right now. And those, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that are not saved, Lord, I pray, God, even now that you will save, deliver, and that God, that you will make them free. Lord, I ask thee, God, all over the United States of America, all over, God, the city of Jacksonville, Tampa, Lord God, Miami, Father God, all of the cities, Lord God, in the United States of America, I pray even now that you would touch them, city, state, United States of America, deliver and make free. And this we thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We'd like to thank you for joining us on this morning and joining us in the Hour of Power. This has been your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Join us again on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Let God do great and mighty things in you today. and he will. Believe him and let him show you that he is God. God bless you and peace to you today and to every day.